Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Israel is the land of the Bible. It's where our faith originated. We have common values with Israel and the Jewish people, and we also share common threats. But if you've never visited Israel, I encourage you to do so because it literally is a life-changing experience. Hi, I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Dr. Ed Heinsohn, who is the dean of the School of Religion and distinguished professor of religion at Liberty University. And Dr. Heinsohn, you've been to Israel multiple times, and you teach the scriptures there in the actual places where these scriptures were actually developed, where the events occurred. Why should someone go to Israel? Is it really a life-changing experience for them?
It absolutely is, because it makes the Bible come alive in the context in which it was written in the first place. I like to remind my students here at Liberty, the Bible is not written into thin air. The names and places in the Bible are real, real people, real places, real history. And we could add to that real geography. There really was a Bethsaida and a Capernaum and a Chorazin, and there's a Sea of Galilee and a Jordan River. You can't move those. There really was a Nazareth. There really is a Jerusalem.
And they're still named that,
and they're still there today. You can either go to the active city today that's built on the remains of the ancient city, or if the city was never rebuilt, as in the case of Bethsaida and Capernaum, you can go see the remains archaeologically of the first century city that was there in the time of Jesus. You can literally walk on the same streets Jesus walked on. You can stand in the same synagogue where Jesus preached. You can be right where he healed people on the... there's a powerful verse in the Gospels that says at Bethsaida, they literally laid people on beds in the street, and if the shadow of Jesus fell on them, they were healed. That city only existed in the first century. It was totally destroyed by the Romans. It was never rebuilt. It was only found in the last 10 years. And you can literally walk down that same street. You can go to the Pool of Siloam, where Jesus healed the blind man. And you can actually experience what it's like to stand in those very places. In fact, there are only two miracles that Jesus ever did in Jerusalem. He did many miracles in Galilee and other places. He only did two recorded miracles in Jerusalem. At the Pool of Bethesda, he heals the crippled man, and at the Pool of Siloam, he healed the blind man. When you understand the connection from the Jewish scriptures, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, in the Old Testament, David is trying to conquer Jerusalem to make it his capital, and the Jebusites who hold it are saying to him, even the blind and the lame can keep you out of here. And then David responds and says, I'll remove the blind and the lame from Jerusalem. And so this becomes a huge issue later on in Jewish thinking throughout the Old Testament era. And when Jesus comes on the scene as the Son of David, the promised Messiah, and Jesus is saying, in essence, I can remove the blind and the lame without a sword, without an army, by the power of my miraculous presence in their lives. That'll, you go to Israel and see where all of this took place. It'll inform your mind, it'll inflame your heart, it'll fill your soul, and it'll stir you with real passion for the land of the Bible and for the people of the land as well.
What you just said, most people probably have never heard before about the two miracles of Jesus, healing the blind and the lame, and then going back to the original development and the creation of Jerusalem itself, when David built and he came in to conquer the Jebusites, and they taunted him, just like you're saying. We'll put blind and lame up on the wall. You won't be able to touch us. Yeah. We'll put our weakest people there. And then Jesus, when he comes, he heals the blind and the lame. And that connection, most people have never connected in their life. But when you go to the City of David, you can't miss it.
Right.
It's right there.
It's right
there. And the tour guides will tell you that.
Right. The archaeologists that excavated it understand that very clearly. And that brand new excavation at the city of David, where they've gone all the way down to the Jebusite, Canaanite level of the ancient remains of the city and the remains in the time of David and Solomon, you are literally stepping back 3,000 years into real history. And you can do it there. The Pool of Bethesda's remains are there. The Pool of Siloam's remains are there. And those are just three of literally hundreds of things and places you can go in Israel, up the southern steps of the temple, the very steps Jesus and the disciples would have walked on. You can stand by the mikveh baptismal tanks that the Jewish people used in the first century. It's a thrill to realize when I read my Bible, this is not mythology. This is real truth written in real history, in real geographical settings that I can go back and see for myself even today.
Now, Jesus cursed three cities, Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida. And he said that if the miracles had been performed in Sodom and Gomorrah that had been performed in you, they would have repented long ago. He cursed them. Those three cities have never been rebuilt. They are destroyed. If you visit Capernaum, it's right there on the Sea of Galilee. It's in a place that would be a crossroads. That's why the tax collectors were there. But it's right there near a water source, and yet that city is no longer in existence. All you see is ancient ruins, and there's no reason why it should not have been rebuilt. There's no reason that why there shouldn't be a new Capernaum next to it alongside the ruins, but it's not. And it goes back to what Jesus said. He cursed those three cities because they didn't respond, and he had performed so many miracles.
And you can stand on the site of all three cities and see the destroyed remains of the city and realize the fulfillment of what Jesus predicted. So when he also predicts the destruction of the temple at Jerusalem, you begin to get it. You can go to Jerusalem and go into that excavation park below the southern wall and see the temple stones that have been thrown off by the Romans 2,000 years ago lying in a heap. I like to walk people down that road and say to them, you reach out and touch these stones, you are touching the fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy. It's like that all over the land of Israel. Just being in the land in itself enlightens the heart of a believer. But when you see what God is doing among the people of Israel to bring them back there after nearly 2,000 years of being expelled, that's never happened before in history. It's obvious God is at work fulfilling his ultimate promise that he would defend them and perpetuate them even until the time of the end. I think that we are living in a day and age when we've seen the fulfillment of that. Israel's back in the land. There's a crisis in the Middle East. There's the threat of weapons of mass destruction all over the world. The very things the Bible predicts about the end times, the stage is being set right before us right now. So the great thing about going to Israel is you can look to the past and see what God said and how it was fulfilled. You can look to the present and see what God is doing today. And you can look to the future and anticipate what he's going to do in the future as well.
And when you hear things like Armageddon, Harmageddon comes from the mountain of Megiddo. You can actually stand on Mount Megiddo overlooking the Jezreel Valley. And they've excavated it down to the time of Solomon's stables there. And you're literally there standing on Mount Megiddo, which the Bible speaks about in the book of Revelation.
Yeah, you catch, I think, in that moment, a glimpse of that huge valley of Jezreel down below, symbolically called Armageddon in the book of Revelation, and you realize this is where it all ends one day. It's the largest flat area in all of Israel, the natural battlefield for the end times, and it was even in ancient times a major battlefield. Gideon fought the Canaanites there. Deborah and Barak fought the Canaanites there. Napoleon fought in that valley in the 1800s, and during World War I, Allenby led the British forces against the Turks in that valley as well. It's almost always when there's a conflict going on in that region, it seems to come together at that crossroads because it's the crossroads east, west, north, south. And you can go there today, stand there, and get a glimpse of what it'll be like. I like to remind people, if you're here, take a real good look, because according to the book of Revelation, we're all going to be back here one day riding in with Christ when he comes to rule the world.
Well, for more information on Israel, visit lc.org. Again, the website is lc.org. You can also go to ambassadorcouncil.org. ambassador.org, ambassadorcouncil.org. You can get that from Liberty Council's website, lc.org, or go directly there. That's a webpage that we have regarding trips to Israel. So if you've never been to Israel, or if you have been to Israel, it's time to go back or time to go there for the very first time. It literally is a life-changing experience. As Dr. Heinzen has said, the scriptures literally come to life. I mean, this is where they were written. This is where Jesus walked and where he was buried and rose again. And you can literally walk in certain cases on the same streets that Jesus walked. It's an incredible experience to go to Israel. It will literally strengthen your faith, and I believe it will naturally propel you to be a goodwill ambassador for Israel. It's just a natural extension. For more information, call us at 800-671-1776 or visit lc.org, lc.org, or ambassadorcouncil.org.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.